Chapter 12. From Multan to Hazaribagh Prison. Before writing about our experiences in Hazaribagh Prison, I must describe an important incident about which I forgot to write in my account of Multan prison life. After 40 days fast, without even a drop of water, a medical officer was sent to my cell for forced feeding, but on his own responsibility, the medical officer gave orders that I should be given fruits. His orders were not obeyed. I prayed to God to save this kind-hearted doctor from any further trouble. After some time, the deputy commissioner and some officers suddenly came to my cell and gave me a turban and religious symbols as a kada and kum as a kanga. They informed me that the provincial government had strongly recommended the demand that all Sikh prisoners, political or otherwise, be given turbans instead of caps, and they should not be given the right and they should be given the right to keep religious symbols also. The matter is now with the Viceroy's Council, where a bill legalizing the rights of Sikh prisoners to wear turban and other symbols was expected to be passed shortly. Soon, all Sikh prisoners in India would get turbans and religious symbols, but the Deputy Commissioner had given secret instructions to allow me to wear a turban and religious symbols on his own responsibility. Now that one of my major demands had been acceded to, I was asked to give up fast and express my gratefulness to the government for it. In deep inward thankfulness to my Guru and God, I passed into Samadhi uttering, "Glory, glory unto God." The deputy commissioner asked me what I was doing in silence. I told him, "I am expressing my gratefulness to God." To this he replied, "Why do you not thank the British Sarkar, the British government?" I told him, "I'm grateful to my true sovereign Sarkar." My mind was then overwhelmed by the blessedness of God, and in this mood I quietly lay down on my mattress and brooded over His grace. The DC and other officers left me in this condition. In the evening, my local benefactor, the medical officer, brought a watermelon for me. I thanked him for all that he had done, because it was his report and correspondence with the higher authorities that had secured me the rights to wear Sikh symbols and the food I was required. Dr. Narayan Das humbly said, "It is your deep faith in God that has been rewarded. You are giving me the credit for it for nothing. Anyway, we should be grateful to God for this gracious help He has rendered." I was deeply moved by these noble words, which reminded me that I should be grateful to God alone and not flatter any human being. Forget thyself and live in utter dedication to the Guru. Anyway, I had not expressed my gratefulness to the medical officer to flatter him or to win his favor. His nobility had touched me deeply, and I had genuine admiration for his character. I thanked him and praised him. I prayed that God may in future save me from any tendency to flatter any human being for any benefit that I may receive. Hardly 15 minutes had passed when the jail Daroga Sadanand came and deprived me of my turban. I felt my vanity had been punished. While it was that reverence that was restored, I utterly forgot myself. After that day, I would get some source or the other turbans and underwears. Many times we were deprived of them by the jail authorities. Thus passed the terrible days in Multan prison. The winter and summer months were both tortures. The summer season was particularly unbearable. Either we were made to stand in the open sun, changing burning fetters when the temperature rose to nearly boiling point, or we were generally locked in cells, which were as hot as an oven. The sight was unbearable, and the agony and suffering might have ended our life within 3 or 4 days. I took it as a penance enforced by the will of God. As Bhakt Guru Ravi Das says, "What matters if my body is frail and weak? I would be seriously upset if thy love departs." Guru Nanak Badshah writes, "This was my feeling, and I was not afraid of death. I am not afraid to die. I aspire not to survive." This detachment of the spirit had infused me in the deeper mood of abiding by the will of God. Those who love the Guru sincerely are under his eternal protection. The merciless prison authorities had left no stone unturned in their cruel attempts to kill me. But God willed it otherwise. We suddenly received orders to be transferred from Multan jail. But we were not told where we were to be taken. Sadanand gave us only this much information, that all political prisoners sentenced to 7 or more years would not be kept in Punjab jails, nor would they be taken to Andaman Islands. Some new concentration camps and prisons in India had been allotted to us. 6 of us were taken under strong guard to the Multan Cantonment railway station within 2 hours after the transfer order arrived. On the railway station, we met five more companions from the Multan district jail. Although we were heavily chained, we embraced each other at this happy meeting. We were extremely delighted at this chance meeting. We now saw that the prison authorities were making arrangements for a very long journey. Special carriages closed from both sides by iron bars were reserved for us. Large earthen vessels full of water were kept inside. I also kept one, especially for myself. I did not get any time to prepare my food. At Sahiwal railway station, two more companions joined us. It is at Sahiwal we got some information that we were being taken to Hazaribagh prison. As the train moved on, a Sikh daroga and a Sikh doctor was attached to our train to look after us. A large contingent of police officers of police under the command of Mr. Beatty were sent as vigilance force along with these prisoners. This Mr. Beatty was the same man who was a police officer on duty during the trial of the conspiracy cases before the special tribunal at Lahore. He was now promoted for his service during that period and made the superintendent of police. Later on, we came to know that he was the man posted on duty during the Guru Ka Bagh tragedy, where he posed as a tiger before the non-violent agitators. But in our presence, he started behaving as timidly as a lamb. We wondered how such a chicken-hearted person became such a terror during the later period of the freedom movement. He tried to terrorize us, but when we snubbed him, he avoided a clash. Up to Delhi railway station, he did not give us anything to eat, although he was supposed to give us food worth 2 rupees daily. All my companions became mutinous as soon as they reached Delhi station. One of them loudly proclaimed, "If we are to die of hunger, let us beat this rascal Beatty to death before we die." Everyone was in a mood to revolt and prepared to fight for food. Mr. Beatty understood Punjabi to some extent. He had once relented and, addressing me in English, urged me to calm down my companions, and he would procure them whatever they asked for. He gave me assurance of excellent treatment of prisoners, and begged me, in the name of God, to save him from further trouble and calm down my companions. He promised to provide everything we required. "Save my honor," he said. "Otherwise, I may not only lose my chance of further promotion, but also may be punished for fomenting trouble." I assured him that if his treatment continued to be humane during the train journey, he need not fear anything. No one would cause him any trouble. He was extremely delighted on getting this assurance and immediately started reprimanding his Indian subordinates for neglecting the prisoners. He had once procured sweetmeats, fruit, ice, milk, and halwa puris. He would telegraphically order delicious food on every major station so that the prisoners could get it as soon as the train reached the station. He would again and again come to me and ask, "Sardar Sahib, do you require anything else? Just order, and I will make arrangement for it." And then he would whisper in my ears, "Please save my honor. I should not be blamed for annoying the prisoners." He trembled from head to foot. Whenever the idea came to him that if the prisoners revolted, they would be out of his control. He knew that these political prisoners did not believe in any sheepish non-violence. Throughout the journey, he showed deep concern for the requirements of the prisoners he had to depend on some fruits, which were not easily available. As there were no arrangements for cooking, I went without food. A few bags of jaggery were there, which the prisoners consumed. The prisoners used it for making cold drinks. I also got my share of it. The water vessels were generally refilled on big stations. Thus the prisoners moved on in the train, happily enjoying food and singing divine songs to the tune of clanking chains. Keithan continued throughout the journey. Whenever the train stopped on a station, we looked out of the window for some sick brother or patriot whom we could greet. But these were days when people were completely petrified and utterly demoralized by the terrors of British Raj. No one dared to come near the train. Our very faces frightened those whom we greeted. We were thirsting for a glimpse of our brother sick. But the general attitude of the people was very disappointing. Even at the Amritsar railway station, where there were crowds of Sikhs, no one dared to greet us. As soon as we greeted them, they ran away without answering us. Such was the terror created by the British imperialism during those days. Jalandhar passed. Then came our hometown, Ludhiana. Exiled, imprisoned, cruelly separated from everyone, I yet thought, Ludhiana, to be my hometown, for my own hometown. Though all ties were broken, the attachment for Ludhiana still lingered. And yet the thought was painful that it was at Ludhiana I was interned. The people and friends of this place had betrayed me and were the cause of all sorrow of prison life. Most of the friends had proved treacherous. Still, some personal attachment for Ludhiana lingered in my mind. It was false vanity. Guru Nanak says, when the mind is exiled, the whole country is alien. To whom may I show my deep wounds of sorrow? Yet I was anxious to meet some sick brother. I hoped to recognize someone and get some news of my wife and children. But God willed it otherwise. He perhaps wanted to remove the last traces of human attachments. Not a soul was to be seen on the platform. No one dared to come near us. We could see groups of Sikhs at a distance. I greeted them at the top of my voice, but from their frightened looks, it appeared that they did not dare to answer my greeting. It was a crime to greet a political prisoner. They feared that they might be arrested and punished. My mind withdrew itself into patient detachment. The train moved on from Ludhiana as we sang secret hymns, passing through Sanewal, Chawapal, Gobindgarh, Sirhind, the place of martyrdom of Guru Gobind Singh Ji's mother and children. At Ambala, Hira Singh Chard and other political prisoners joined us. At Delhi, our train was full and we bade goodbye to Punjab. We gave up the thought of meeting our brother Sikhs of the Punjab. The sun rose and set. We crossed lands and rivers. At Mughal Sarai, we took our meals and the next day we reached Hazari Bagh Road Station. A large military unit stood there under the command of Inspector General Prisons and Inspector General Police to receive us. Hail Guruji, victory to the Guru, Vaheguruji ka khalsa, Vaheguruji ki fateh, we shouted as we got down from the train. We were taken to an open ground and hundreds of soldiers stood guard with bayonets and guns. Delicious food was served to everyone. Milk, fruit, soda water, halwa and puris, etc. were given. I washed my hands and feet and took some cold water mixed with sugar. Here Mr. Beatty handed us over to the Bihar police and after thanking me departed from the place. He extended his arm for a handshake, but I was taking my meals and so greeted him with folded hands. Goodbye, he said, and then went away. Then we met the prisoners from other prisons and told one another of the tales of our sorrows and sufferings in various prisons. Hazari Bagh was 40 miles from the railway station. We then hurriedly passed a few resolutions of our determination to get our fundamental rights that were denied to us. We decided to have our own Punjabi kitchen, and we also decided not to do any hard labor. We were in all 32 political prisoners. Each lorry carried about 5 prisoners and 10 military officers. Before we got into the buses, the congregational prayers, the Ardas, was performed. The prisoners sang hymns of Guru Nanak, which impressed the Bihari passers-by very much, as we were all bareheaded with chestnuts and beards. They considered us to be sadhus. After singing 5 shabds, we talked to each other about jail experiences in different jails. The lorries sped fast through the forest. The scenery was very impressive. The forest was full of wildlife. The lorry stopped near a stream where we were given cold water, but were not allowed to get anything for urinating. But we were told that only the chief, Bara Sohib, could give us such permission. This chief happened to be a Punjabi, wearing a hat and looked like a European. He was Inspector General of Prisons. Baba Jeevan Singh, an apostate Sikh who had taken the responsibility of controlling our batch of political prisoners. Even Andaman Island Prison had refused to accept us because the prisoners of the first Lahore conspiracy case had already harassed them a lot and found it difficult to control them. No state government would lodge us. At last, Baba Jeevan Singh took the sole responsibility of keeping us in Hazari Bagh prison, on the condition that the Punjab government gave him all the money and authority to handle the political prisoners. The Punjab government agreed to all his conditions, including full payment of the daily allowances to which the political prisoners were entitled. The Punjab government accepted all the conditions of Baba Jeevan Singh and sent us to Hazari Bagh. Although there were many senior officers with the convoy, everything was referred to Inspector General Baba Jeevan Singh. I took him to be a European. In English, I told him that the prisoners wanted to urinate. He said that the prisoners would be given permission to do so only after reaching the prison. I happened to say in Punjabi, "This is cruelty." He replied, "It is not cruelty, but administration." I again retorted, "This is not administration, but revenge, and also first-rate cowardice on your part." He asked me, "Why do you call it cowardice?" I replied, "We political prisoners are chained hand and foot, while you have so many police officers that they are about 4 times the number of prisoners. The whole route is lined by armed military men, yet you are afraid that the prisoners might escape. If this is not cowardice, what else is?" He remained silent, but the Inspector General of Police suggested that we may urinate while standing in the lorries, which of course we refused. I told them that this may be a Western practice to which we are not accustomed. We tolerate even this cruelty. Kirit Durvesh Ban Jane Darish, the curse of saints falls back on him. We remained silent. As soon as we reached the Hazari Bagh prison, Baba Jeevan Singh came to me and said, "Now there will be no cruelty. Of this you may rest. Of this you may rest assured." He felt a little ashamed of his previous order. We also had some consideration for him when we came to know he was Punjabi and not European. In every prison cell, we found buckets of water, 2 new uniforms, and a towel. There were iron utensils for all prisoners. There were 3 blocks of 16 prison cells each. The climate in this place was quite the contrast to that of Punjab. From scorching heat of the Punjab, we now felt transported to a pleasant hill station. The prison was an ancient fort cut out and built on the ridge of a hill. Even the prison cells were neat, clean, attractive, and airy. There were huge walls around the cells, but the air could freely move in and out. Had they been built on the pattern of Punjab or Madras prisons, they might have been extremely suffocating. The place was very good for meditation and prayer. As soon as we reached the prison, it began to rain, and it continued to rain for months. It was drizzling all the time. The people of Bihar said that it never rained before like that. It appeared that the clouds madly danced, welcoming us to the place. After enduring the scorching heat of Multan, the climatic change revived our spirit, and we were we experience the joys of winter season in the middle of summer at Hazari Bagh. The high walls around the prison shielded the beautiful scenery of nature all around, but even the sight of the cool and cloudy sky inspired us with deep emotions and meditative reflections. Day and night, the mind was absorbed in the loving presence of God. Even for a moment, I could not take my mind away from the remembrance of Simran. Wonderful are thy ways, O Lord. Strange indeed was the way in which he converted the prison cell into the meditation cell. Guru Arjan Patshah says, God himself protects his servants. He himself makes him contemplate his name. Wherever the servant needs his help, there God helps him in his work. Glory unto thee, I Lord, O Lord. Glory unto thee, O Creator Supreme. Guru Nanak Patshah says, wherever I go, I see thee. Thou art everywhere, O true Creator. Thou art dispeller of sorrow, Lord. Whatever thou willst taketh place. Millions of sins of man are erased by thee in a few hours. Thou canst peep into every heart and distinguish between the saint and the hypocrite. Thou art everywhere, true Lord. Wherever I go, I see thee alone. Strange indeed was the Lord's way of giving us the experience of joy in sorrow and of his abiding love. Even in the most difficult situations, God makes his servant abide by his will. Otherwise, for ordinary human beings, it is very difficult to understand the agony and suffering of life. Guru Arjan Patshah says, "On whom tera paana tu hai manaye, jis no hoye diala, sai pagat jo tud paave, tu sarb jiya pratpala, mere Ram Rai, santa tek tumari, jo tud paave so pravan, man tan tu hai aradi, rahao." तू दयाल कृपाल कृपा निध मनसा पूर्ण हारा भगत तेरे सब प्राण पत प्रीतम तू भगतन का प्यारा तू अथा हो अपार अत ऊंचा कोई अवर ना तेरी पाते हे अरदास हमारी स्वामी विसर नाही सुख दाते दिन रहन सास सास गुण गावा जे स्वामी तुद पावा नाम तेरा सुख नानक मांगे साहिब तुटे पावा. Glorious art thou, O Guru, O true Guru, who guided me safely through hellish fires and now give soothing peace and rest. He has bestowed cooling bliss in the burning heat. Sorrow is dispelled and joy reigns. In all consuming flames of sorrow, he saved me. Wherever a man remembers and contemplates him, he is saved. Guru Arjan Patshah says, Lord, thy saving hand has protected me from the burning flames. I take refuge in thee. My heart leans on thee for strength and honor. I now depend on no other. Lord, he who remembers thee is saved. Thou art my home and hope and support. Those who contemplate thy name are saved. Thou hast been merciful and hast taken me out of the dark pit, taking me under thy protective care. Thou hast given me all joy and happiness. When God is gracious, he breaks the fetters and liberates man. He himself sows the seed of devotion, and he himself inspires man with true service. All attachment is eliminated, and doubts are dispelled. All sorrow and gloom has disappeared. Nanak, the Lord has blessed me mercifully, and now I have met the perfect Guru. One divine song after another gushed out in unceasing flow from my heart in uncontrollable and spontaneous inspiration. Who could check this inflow of inspiration? The forest of loneliness became a garden of joy. The dark prison cell became a sacred cell of meditation. My heart burst forth into this song and continued singing it for some time. Lord God, the true enlightener, O Creator Supreme, thy servant seeks thy dust. I am a sacrifice unto thy presence. Lord, I will live as thou keepest me. When thou so wills, I remember thee. Happiness is thy gift, O Lord. By thy grace one serveth thee, and attains liberation and the art of perfect life. That place is heaven, where thy praises sung. Thou alone sowest the seeds of faith.